Welcome to the Holy Church of God's Global Outreach Center. We pray that this gospel message will reach its mark into the hearts of the hearers, glorify God, lift up Jesus, and save the lost, that it will comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable and fully furnish us with a heart for God.
Comes by hearing the seed. And the seed is the Word of God. Wonderful thing about it, when the seed gets in the heart, the good ground heart, it brings forth the fruit of faith. You don't have to try to believe. It just starts happening. Amen. The more you read of the Word, the more you receive of it in your heart. Amen. You don't really read it and decide whether you're going to believe it or not. You just read it with an open heart and faith starts coming. Can you say, man, you read it with an open heart and you won't have to try to believe it. Amen. Anybody that's ever read this book with an open heart has got faith to believe on Christ from it. Can you say, man? Anybody that's ever listened to this word with an open heart, faith has come alive within them. Because God put the very seed for that in you the day that you came on this planet. He put the wherewithal to be saved within you. He's the Christ who lighteth every man that comes into the world, and to every creature, every person was given the measure of faith. God said, I've give you enough to believe this gospel. So there's not a person that is going to miss heaven that says, I didn't get there because I couldn't believe it. Amen. Only reason you can't receive this gospel is because you wouldn't believe it by an act of the will, not because you couldn't believe it because of lack of faith. Because faith cometh by hearing. And hearing. Everybody say an open heart. Amen. That's what hearing is all about. He that hath an ear. Everybody, anybody got one? Amen. He's not talking about this one. He's talking about an open heart. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. And the Spirit is speaking to the heart. Can you say, man? Yeshua Mokole, Nandarabasa. So, same way with hope. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. D.L. Moody said, I prayed for faith. I had these times of wavering. Everybody has them. There's no one walking without them. I don't care who it is, and I don't care what they teach. There's nobody that doesn't waver. Nobody, nobody, nobody. How do you know that? Because some of the lot greater than anybody on the planet today went through those battles. John the Baptist, you know what God said about John the Baptist? Never greater born of woman. But down in prison, with the pressure on, not just the pressure of the persecution, but the pressure of, did I get it right? Because I just looked at a flesh and blood man and called him the Lamb of God. Amen. And he said, man, if I miss that, I am misleading people with the grossest mistake that could ever be made on planet Earth or in the universe. Because if he's not the true Messiah, I am a false prophet, and I am leading people to follow a charlatan and a fraud. So it was that kind of pressure. It was the pressure on him because of the statement he made, and he wanted to make sure he was right, and said, go and ask him, are you he? Or should we look for another? There was a shakiness about that. Amen. But God wanted him to be certain. Now, he knew that John knew that there were Old Testament prophecies about the Messiah. And one thing was clear. When this Messiah comes, he would be a deliverer. He would be a healer. Can you say amen? He wouldn't just be a great theologian. He would be a healer, a helper of people, and the primary sign would be in healing. Now, I could preach a message on divine healing as a not only a confirmation of the Word, but a prophetic sign that Jesus is the Messiah. Healing is not extraneous to the gospel. It is not the pet doctrine of a few Pentecostals or charismatics. Healing is the nature and the character of God. You cannot have Jehovah Sikinu, the Lord our righteousness, and not have Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our physician. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. You can't have a partial revelation of God that fits into your creed and leave the rest of it out because you're afraid of those crazy Pentecostals. And you don't want none of that in your church. And I agree, I don't want strange fire, and I don't want hyper faith, and I don't want people just to come to a faith healer and put man on a pedestal. But I want you to know something about your God. Your God is a physician. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. He cannot be Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace, and not be Jehovah Rapha, the God that healeth thee. Can you say, man? You can't have part of His character and leave the rest of it out. So He wanted him to know when Messiah comes, He will represent the Lord our righteousness. He will be the Prince of Peace, and He will be a great physician. He will heal the sick and set the captive free. John knew that about Messiah, and that was way before the day of Pentecost. So you can't blame that on the Pentecost. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So Jesus, to satisfy him, when they asked him the question, said, "Go and tell John, the blind see, the lame walk, and the deaf hear, and he'll know it is I." Can you say, man, that'll satisfy. Hallelujah. I've always taught there's more to church than going through liturgies. Amen. And going through the procession and the recession of the choir. Can you say, man? And going through all the routines of the church. I talked to a man yesterday, and he said, "I went to a church. The pastor taught us so well. And after several years, he took a sabbatical." And I tried to explain about the pressures of ministry. Amen. But anyway, he said, "But it's not the same." He said, "It's not the same." He said, "We're back into just a routine." And he said, "Our pastor used to teach us." He said, "You know, the reason a lot of people that went to church don't go to church no more is because they've been there, done that." In other words, it became such a ritual, such a routine. They knew that going back to church wouldn't make any difference in their life, because it wasn't making a difference in their life when they were faithfully attending. And they didn't see a lot of difference in anybody's life around them. Well, listen, the God of Israel is not like that. The church can become like that and misrepresent Him. But there is a God in Israel. There is a balm in Gilead. Can you say amen? Church is not just liturgies, catechisms, and creeds. Church is where God comes in the midst of His people when we worship Him and when we get into His Word. Hallelujah. In His presence there's fullness of joy, and at His right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And where two or more are gathered in my name, there am I. It's a special representation, a special manifestation. There am I in the midst of them. So thank God for the healer, Jehovah Rapha. We're going to teach on healing till you can't help but be healed before this thing is through. Amen. I can't help but be. Because faith is going to come for the things that God has provided for His people. Amen. God is going to be the deliverer of His people. God is going to be the financial advisor to His people. God is going to be the counsel to His people. I mean, I want to just make a correction here. I'm not against Dr. Phil. I think he says some good things. He told a guy that had a problem keeping a job that he was lazy one day. And I said, "Boy, that guy is right on." Like the guy that went to a doctor because he was shiftless and listless, and he told his wife, "I just feel drawn out. I feel give out. I don't know what's wrong," because every time she tried to get him to go to work, he just come up with some excuse. So she made him an appointment with a doctor and said, "You go to that doctor, I'm leaving you. I'm going to find out what's wrong with you and get you fixed up, boy." So he ended up in the doctor's office, and the doctor gave him a head-to-toe checkup and checked everything. But after talking with him a while, he discerned what the real situation was. He had all the reports on his desk. The man went back to the results of the test. He said, "Well, doc," he says, I want you to give it to me plain. I don't want you to mingle it with big medical terms. I want you to tell me flat out what's wrong with me." He said, "You want it flat out?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "You're lazy. There's nothing else wrong with you." He said, "Doc, can you put it in medical terms so I can tell my wife?" I think one doctor said, "You're suffering from a severe case of cornbread consumption, resulting in acute abdominal protrusion." That's medical terminology. Can you say amen? So church can become mundane, methodical. We can just go through motions. Or church can become a place where we are filled with hope in believing. Can you say amen? This is where you get your gas tank filled up. This is where you come to get refocused. This is where you come to realize that no matter what you're facing, someone's going to tell you there's a God in charge. Hallelujah. And you can't see it now, but praise God, I want you to know that you know that you know that your life is not out of control because God is in control. Put your trust in Him. Hallelujah. Keep the faith. Keep your hopes up. Get a spirit of anticipation. If a door closes, don't begin to get melancholy. Say, oh, Lord, that means you're going to open another door. How exciting. Hallelujah. Get a spirit of anticipation about you and hold it, because that's what people are looking for, is people that are looking for good in the time of trouble. People that have confidence and consolation in the time of trouble. It was so good to speak confidently, amen, and to live confidently in the midst of a world like this when men's hearts are beginning to fill with fear. The people of faith stand out. God said He was going to make us outstanding people in a time such as this. But He's got to get us to a place where we cast our care upon Him and live that hope out in our life. Amen. It's going to make such a difference. The Bible said, I may read a scripture actually, but I've quoted enough without reading it. Committing yourself to the Lord is not easy, but it's the only way to continually live in hope. You've got to be hopeful. There was a ship in a storm in Acts 27. You don't have to turn there. That's not where I was headed. And all hope of being saved was lost. It was a prison ship. Paul was on board. It was on its way to take him to be put in prison. The people on that ship were in transportation. My father-in-law used to be in transportation before he died. I got a new daddy-in-law now, and great Christian man, but my father-in-law was a deputy sheriff. He became eventually in transportation. He wore a green coat. He stood in the courtroom when they took them from the court to the prison. Then they are the people that transported them. So he had to be very careful. Some of these people were given a life sentence. They are a death sentence even. So killing him to get away wouldn't have been no big deal. He was a big man. He was well-armed, and he understood the safety precaution. He was in transportation. So they had these people in chains and irons, and they had him on board a prison ship. And Paul, for preaching the gospel, is counted among the malefactors. He's on the prison ship. He has a word from the Lord that a great storm is going to hit him. So he tells them, amen, you know, what they didn't want to hear on a clear day. Amen. He says a great storm is going to come. It'd be better not to loose from port. That's all that God told him, to tell him that. And so he assumed it was the will of God they didn't go. However, it was the will of God that they go. And it was the will of God that the storm come. And during the midst of the storm, Paul discovered it was the will of God and came up with a message of hope, because he made the discovery that they were in the will of God in the storm. He could have came up and said, I told you not to lose port. Now we're all going under. I'm going to die and y'all going to die too because you didn't listen to me. That would have helped anybody. But he recognized, he realized through prayerful seeking of God, amen, that God was in control. I want to urge you to interpret things differently. If something drives you into the presence of God to seek Him because you are desperate for an answer because you don't understand, hallelujah, what's going on and you need His deliverance or else you're going to sink, amen. I want you to know that can be the place of discovering that even the stuff that you thought was so terrible can all be incorporated into God's will and eternal purpose, amen. But you'll never discover it if you just scream and cry and shake your hands around. Just go to God. And don't try to stand in such perfect faith that you never have to pour your heart out. Go pour your heart out. God will honor that. Amen. He doesn't disqualify you, amen, because you're weak flesh. In fact, that's what really qualifies you for grace. We talked about that not too long ago. And grace is sufficient for you. Can you say amen? Said I told you not to loose and not to go. But they didn't listen. Man is not good at listening. Especially a guy's in a prison ship. He's not in some great pulpit. He's in a prison ship. And the prisoner's going to tell him, amen. So I can just hear them mocking him. You know, look who the weatherman is. It's a perfectly clear day, and a guy says that a storm is coming. So they don't pay him any mind, and they cast out into the deep, and they're out in the midst of the sea. And the Bible said a great wind came. Yerukladun, a great wind from the north, came and swept upon them. And it begin to threaten to sink the ship. And as the day wore on, the values changed on that ship. They had other cargo, stuff they were carrying for money, like UPS. You know what they decided? If the ship's going down, none of this means much anymore. Amen? So they untied everything, took everything they could, and threw it overboard to lighten the ship because the ship was laying low in the water because of its cargo. And this allowed it a little more buoyancy so the waves didn't just completely overwhelm it. But it's still being tossed. The Bible said, amen, that night was falling. And as the night crept in, and now it's even worse, you're adding the darkness to the tempest. And you can't see that next big wave coming. And there's this sense that any one could be the tipping wave that takes you under. The Bible said they begin to fast. They wouldn't eat. They wouldn't drink anything. They begin to get desperate for God's deliverance. Can you say amen? It's amazing what storms do to get people refocused and get their values straightened out. So sometimes God allows storms for positive reasons. Can you say amen? I don't know about you, but when I get in a storm like that, I do get desperate for God. Hallelujah. I do get a kind of rusty prayer life, kind of gets shined up a little bit. Scriptures become a little more meaningful, these scriptures of promise. Can you say, man, if the doctors scratch their head, suddenly healing scriptures become outstanding, not just something you know, I've heard that before. Amen. But when it's you waiting for the results of a test, all of a sudden Jehovah Rapha is a wonderful revelation of God, isn't it? It's not just a theological truth, it's a personal hope. Hallelujah. It gets personalized. So God can use storms, hallelujah, even when you don't understand them. He didn't even tell Paul about it until Paul sought him with all of his heart. Paul was down in the hold of the ship, and he was seeking God through all of this. Amen? And he stayed down there. I don't know if he just stayed because he was waiting for an answer, or if he just stayed because God knew when they would be ready to listen. Sometimes you need to wait until the storm gets just right to share your testimony. There are people that won't listen until the storm gets really strong in their life. But you let the storm get strong enough, their ears have a way of coming open to a message of hope, to the life preserver that's willing to be cast out to them. That's why prison ministry is so effective. Those guys have hit bottom. They can't run away from themselves, their sin, or the consequences of it any longer. There's nowhere left to go. What a target for the gospel that says, here is an answer for you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Anyway, the storm got worse in Acts 27, and all hope of being saved was lost. That means they'd given up hope. They didn't believe that there was any way that they were going to make it through it. Can you say amen? And after long abstinence, the Bible said, Paul came up on deck, and this is what he said. He said, men and brethren, don't be afraid. He said, in fact, I want you to eat. Amen. Isn't it something when the joy of the Lord kicks in? Eat the fat and drink the sweet. Listen, there's a time to fast. And when faith kicks in and you know that God has heard you, there's a time not to continue to fast anymore. There's a time to seal your faith with a feast. Oh, you're not hearing me this morning. There's a time for fasting, and there's a time for feasting. And because of the victories that God granted Israel, there's more feasting than fasting in your Bible. Oh, I'm sorry I said that. Somebody took offense. Somebody's going to hear this tape and say, the church should be always in fasting and mourning because of the conditions. Nobody will ever see the hope that's in you if you're acting like there is no hope. Can you say amen? If you start praying for this nation, then you are grabbing hold of hope. You didn't hear me. Don't just read the headlines. Start praying for America. If you can pray effectively, amen, your prayers can move the hand of God. And the hand of God is not limited by a sinful condition in a nation where sin doth abound. He said, my grace doth much more abound. Sin and its pressure has brought this anguish and fear upon men's hearts today. Amen. It's setting them up for the greatest thrust of Holy Ghost, conviction, and evangelism. The gospel that's been kind of dead letter is going to come alive in hope. Hallelujah. To give hope to people that have no hope. And many of them are going to come running to the mercy seat to get a hold of this hope. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I don't know where my plant manager's coming from, but if he hasn't got a vital faith, He's on the verge of getting one, because his heart is the target of the Holy Spirit's message of hope. And the hope is wrapped up in a person. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is that hope. And we have it in our hearts. We need to let it be lived and seen in our lives and our attitudes. Can you say amen? When you see these things begin to come to pass, is written in the context of end day scenarios and end time events. Can you say amen? And they are all negative concerning the world and the culture around us and where it's all headed. Praise God. But when you see them, you to interpret them differently. When you see them, the very same things, you're to interpret them differently and take on a different attitude. When you see these things begin to come to pass, hallelujah, lift up your head. Your redemption is drawing near. Christ's coming is at the doors. It's very, very soon. When you see the foolish virgins going to sleep, when you see the compromise, the apostate church, when you see it coming down, when you see the Ten Commandments being rejected by a culture, when you see this, know that it marks this time as the end time. And know that if the Antichrist is soon coming and the tribulation is soon coming, then Jesus Christ is soon coming. Hallelujah. And the eternal kingdom is soon coming. Hallelujah. Living in the light of the second coming is not just living holy, it's living hopeful. In fact, you can't be truly holy unless you are hopeful. If you are separated unto God, you've got to be trusting Him with everything. Can you say amen? Can't you be just a rules that you're keeping? It has to be a faith that you're gripping and abiding in. And within this faith, there's always hope. We are not like others. That's what distinguishes you. Even in death, we're not like others. Come on, even in death, we're not like others. In fact, more than any other place in our culture, at death, we're not like others who have no hope. Even in crisis, we're not like others. Weeping lasts for a night, but joy comes in the morning. So what are we doing? Even while we're weeping, we know morning is coming. This will pass, hallelujah. Isn't it good to know it's going to pass? For he that shall come will come, and he will not tarry. Patience is based on hope. You need patience. You have need of patience that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. That means what you're doing right now, you're persevering in because you believe that something is coming. You're waiting patiently because you know God is coming. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? It's all based. Hope is so vital to all of this. Hope is the glad expectation of future good. Can you say, man? Everybody say the glad expectation of future good. Who should be the people on this planet with most of that in their life? With a God that said, I know my thoughts that I think towards you, to the covenant people. Thoughts of good and not of evil to give you what you're hoping for, an expected end. The hopeful, the glad expectation of future good. There may be trouble in the immediate, but you know what we know? All things, that's why hope kicks in. And glory be to God. All things work together for good. My wife went through a health crisis, and we had to wait on reports. And during the time of waiting, my wife sought God until peace came. And the peace that came was the kind of peace that says, no matter what the report, God is with me. It wasn't the kind of fragile peace that can be interrupted by a bad report. It went beyond the report. And it didn't deny the report. It said, no matter what the report is, this peace is here with me. I can face whatever I face and hope because God is still in control. God is still in charge. God is the Lord of my life. And it's going to be okay as me and God face this together. Hallelujah. Amen. Can I show you a fragile faith that we think is great faith? It's a faith that says if the report isn't good, then faith is gone. Everything is, all bets are off. God has failed or my faith has failed. No, listen, whether the report is good or whether it's bad, God is God and you're God's child and God is in control. Whether the storm ceases or it blows on. I love the scripture where God stops the storm. Acts 27 is a place where God was in the storm and God willed the storm and God used the storm. So didn't your hyper faith build up to control the weather? Wouldn't have brought you where God wanted you to be. Oh, and by the way, hyper faith don't twist God's eternal purposes to your convenience. You say, well, I don't want to go through storms to win souls. I just want to win souls by having Bentleys. Did you say not? You don't know what a Bentley is? He could be a principal of a school. Pray for the students. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I love my brother. Amen. He's got education here, and we appreciate him. God is using him. Amen. But he's not from our era, all of you people with salt and pepper gray. He's from the new age. Not the new age movement, but just a new age, which means under 40. Amen. Hallelujah. Everybody under 40 is new age to me. Can you say amen? You're still new. You ain't got all the dents that the rest of us have. Anyway, moving right along. You got all your hair. Anyway, moving right along. Praise the Lord, or most of it. And everybody hearing this tape says, I knew he was bald-headed. He just sounded like a bald-headed man. No, I'm a man with a little hair, paranoid about being bald-headed. Hallelujah. Praise God. God is good today. So he wants us to live in hope. The glad anticipation and expectation of future good. We know good is good. We know good's weeping lasts for a night. But we know the night, amen, is not going to last. The sun's going to rise. The sun of righteousness is going to rise. Even if the sun don't come up in the morning, the sun is going to rise in our heart with healing in his wings. Can you say amen? Everything is working together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. And the things that were written aforetime were written for our learning, that through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, we might have hope. And the God of hope, the God of all hope, fill you with hope in believing. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So God wants a people, even in trouble, that are anticipating the glory that God is going to get when he takes you through that or delivers you from that. Whichever way he chooses, the end result will be good is going to come and God is going to get glory if you keep trusting him. Can you say amen? And he wants you to live that out. Because if God shields you from the trouble that's in the world completely, and you have no problems with your children, you have no problems with your finances, and you have no physical needs or financial needs or emotional needs, then you know what's going to happen? The world is going to say, I don't know what God has done for them. They don't have any need for anything to be. It's people in trouble that get delivered that become witnesses. Listen, how many would like a testimony? Boy, that was a loaded question. Some of you know what's coming. You didn't even miss. I ain't lifting my hand. You know why? Because people that have a testimony are people that go through a test. You would have never heard of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's testimony if it wasn't for the test of that fiery furnace. Amen. But they had such hope, Sister Venable. They said it doesn't matter about whether he lets us go through or whether he don't. He's God. He's in control. We're his servants. We bow to no other gods. We want you to know this about our God. The God that we serve, O King, is able to deliver us from your hand. That's where most people's faith stops. But theirs didn't. Come on, theirs was not an incomplete, fragile faith that if God didn't do what they thought he was supposed to do at that given moment, that their hope was shattered. Their hope went beyond that because their hope went beyond that furnace and went beyond the grave. Can you say amen? So they said, you know something? The God we... First they said, how do you know they were practicing holy carelessness? Because if you're facing a furnace and there's the people that meant to make it hotter, seven times hotter than it was just to burn you up. Can you say, man? Just to intimidate you. The people that were stoking the fire, amen, a blast of the fire came and killed them as they stood on the outside. And these people getting ready to throw you on the inside. If you don't worship a false god. And they said, we are not careful to answer you in this matter, O King. Isn't that good? We're not under pressure. We're not under stress. Amen. And the reason for it was hope that went beyond the present circumstance and even beyond the world. They said, and hope that grasped the sovereignty and the eternal purposes of God. See, real Christians come to the place, if by living I can glorify him, then I want to live, hallelujah. If by my death I can glorify him, then that's okay too, as long as he is glorified. Whether I live or whether I die, Paul said, I am God's. And the prospect of death, he looked at his, You know, there's a song by some rock group that said, "Don't fear the reaper." It's kind of, they thought, in promoting suicide or young melancholy, mixed up young people. Don't fear the reaper. Death is going to a sleep where the pain is going to be gone. Don't fear the reaper. The reaper has always represented fear. Well, that was a false faith. Amen. Telling people with no real hope in Christ, it's okay to die and go into eternity. What a lie from the pit of hell. How soothing of the devil to say, "Don't fear death." How soothing he is telling people, "Go to the light." People saw a glorious light, and people that didn't even know Christ said, "I was dying and I saw a light and I felt so good." The problem is they didn't go through the portal. They came back into this world. They didn't go to their final destination. Here's the deal. Marvel not if Satan himself be transformed as what? An angel of light. Just because they saw a light don't mean it was God. Just because they saw a light don't mean it was Christ. Just because the portal was illuminated and felt warm and fuzzy don't mean it led to heaven. Can you say amen? Satan is a murderer from the beginning. He's a liar and he's the father of it. The thief came to steal and kill and destroy, but Christ said, "I've come to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly." Hallelujah. But then there's others who have had the other kind of experiences, and we may share some of that tonight if you come back for marked for judgment or marked for mercy. Oh, I appreciate being saved this morning. I want to live in the hope that that gives me every single day of my life. I don't want church to become routine. I don't want salvation to become sidelined. And I'm looking for some new, listen to this, some new experience to give me something to keep me going and keep me enthused, rather than drawing from, amen, the fact that I who was lost am saved from eternal damnation. I'm saved from eternal separation. I'm saved from eternal punishment. I've escaped the damnation of an eternal place called hell because Jesus took my place on Calvary. I am glad that I am saved. You may not love me or like me. You may talk about me, but I am saved. Do you understand what I mean? I'm going to spend eternity in heaven instead of hell, and things that bug you, amen, in light of that great salvation shouldn't bug us as much. When David, amen, began to get back to God, one of the things he asked for is restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, thy deliverance. Can you say amen? You know what the church needs to get back? Not some new thing. We need to get back the joy of being a Christian, the joy of being translated out of darkness into this light, the joy of being marked for heaven instead of marked for hell. Can you say amen? Hallelujah! The joy of knowing we will not be at the great white throne. Only those whose names are not found written in the Lamb's book are going to face that horrible judgment. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, over whom the second death has no power. Can you say amen? Happy to be envied are you this morning. No matter what condition in the immediate you may be facing, we got to look past that. Paul said, I suppose, listen to the hope that gave him the endurance and the resilience that he needed. He said, I suppose the sufferings of this present world are not worthy. You never balance it. They're not even worthy to be put in balance and compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us on that day. Hope is the glad expectation of future good. And it took him through the trouble of this old world and the trauma and the persecution and the heartache. If he'd been living for this day, he couldn't have maintained hope. But he was living for that day. Can you say, man? He looked past the veil of flesh and the veil of tears. And so did Moses. What made him make such a decision? To give up what the whole world and most of the church world is after this morning. Out of avarice and greed. Flip on your television. Turn. There's whole networks dedicated to avarice and greed. Greed-driven ministries and greed-driven people in greed giving because we envy the world. Christ is about ready to burst the eastern sky, and we're still looking to amass wealth upon the earth instead of save souls for Jesus. I suppose the sufferings of this present world. And so it caused him to look past that moment that he was in and look to the future. He said, this is time, and that's eternity. And whatever I experience in time is not worthy to be compared with what I'm going to experience for all eternity. It's the people that are not experiencing any trouble in time, causing them as a catalyst to turn to God, that face an eternity of torment. He said, I'd rather be me in prison than them in the penthouse. Can you say, man, I'd rather be me at the whipping post than them in the Bentley, which is the rough equivalent to the Rolls. Can you say, man, you've heard of Rolls Royce. Yeah, you have. Lincoln Town Car? Okay. Well, think 20 Lincoln Town Cars, and you got a Bentley. I know you can do the math. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know what they sang out of the slave days? They lived in hope even in slavery. And their hope wasn't that the culture, it didn't look like the culture would ever change. But they lived in hope that there's something beyond this. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. I'll tell you, hope pull people through tough stuff. I mean some tough stuff. You know what we got out of that slave culture? We got people that said, no matter what they do to me, how they dishonor me, disqualify me, treat me inhuman, there's a God who loves me. There's a Christ who shed his blood on Calvary for me. The one thing they got was a gospel that gave hope, and that out of that came some of the great spirituals. We call them Negro spirituals. What they were people with no hope, absolutely nowhere to turn, no government agency, nobody, nowhere to give them any hope but God. But God gave them hope, and God gave them consolation. Can you say amen? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hope can exist in dark, deep dungeons if it's based on truth. Can you say amen? And facts that go beyond the immediate and the moment. And Paul came up with a message of hope on that ship in Acts 27. He said, men and brethren, be of good cheer. Amen. For this night there stood by me the angel of the Lord. Can you say amen in the middle of the storm? He said, and God has given me a word for you. He told me that not only am I going to be delivered through this storm, not from it, but through it, but all those that sail with me. Can you say amen? He said, how be it? I have an understanding of why the storm now and what we're doing here and what all of this trouble is all about. How be it? We must be cast on a certain island. He said, I've got another revelation to tell you. The boat that you got your hope in, the boat that you got your confidence in, this boat is going to be torn apart on the rocks, but God is going to save every living soul that's on it. Listen, God don't need man-made stuff to take care of you. When everything looks like it's lost, hope is still alive because there's still a God in heaven. Can you say amen? You can get on an airplane in hope that if God wants you to get you to the destination, He doesn't even have to keep the plane in the air. Amen. One person can be delivered from that thing. One person can walk away from that thing. One person can supernaturally be kept. Listen, God is God. Whether the plane stays in the air or whether the plane hits the ground, God is still God. Hallelujah. If the only way He can keep you is if the plane stays up, your faith is in the pilot. That you get on a plane with a man you've never met, you don't know. You don't know what he's going through at home. There was a pilot in Japan that ran the plane and the passengers into the ground because he had a problem in his marriage and he had an alcohol problem. So he gave up hope before he landed and says, you know, I'm not going to do this anymore. And boom. Just because a man wears a uniform and wears cologne doesn't mean he's okay. And yet he's got all those lives. You know, he's sitting up there with all those lives. And we get on the plane. But I never trust him. I've never got on a plane in my life and trusted the pilot of the plane. I don't even trust the plane. You know why? Because people built it. People built my car. That's why I don't trust the plane. Cadillacs break down. Mercedes break down. Televisions blow up. New computers. George says, let's don't even go there. Hallelujah. You get a Dell, dude. Amen. Hallelujah. Sorry, blowed up. We'll give you another one. They're good people at Dell. After long abstinence, why does God wait? Why didn't Paul just run up there? Why didn't God just give him all that revelation, let him run up there, cause him all of that? Because they still wouldn't have been ready to listen. If they can lighten the load and make it, they'll make it. Amen. He waited till all hope in the natural was gone. All hope was gone. All of it. He said all hope of being saved was lost. That's when God says, now I can step in with the message. Because now they're ready to listen. Sometimes they're not ready to listen until everything else is fake. So God just lets it rock on for a while. Lets the wind blow on. You know where he was? He was cast on an island, Malta. And the boat broke up on the rocks. Everybody say providence of God as we try to close this morning. Boat broke up on the rocks. It said some on boards and some on planks. And some swam, but all came upon the shore safely. Paul said, this is the sovereign, eternal purpose and will of God. Now, we're here today saying if you have great faith, you can control your circumstance. You never go through anything like that. It takes greater faith to go through it with God than to pray to God to keep you from it. And let me say this, if you're just trying to find convenience, you will never tap into the eternal purposes of God. Because those souls were more important to them. And by the way, he did give Paul perfect peace in his storm. It was those other people. And Paul wouldn't have had credibility if he hadn't walked up there with perfect peace and spoke with perfect, strong, mighty conviction. I love to quote scripture, amen, in the face of trouble, amen, as if, and what the truth really is, but as if the scripture is more powerful and more sure and more truthful than whatever anything is happening, anything we're sensing or seeing. God's word is supreme. Hallelujah. And then people say, he talks like he means it. She talks like she means it. I saw a lady on television. It was on Trinity, somewhere, one of the TV networks. She had a message she's going to give on television, and God changed her message. I love it when God changes preachers' message, because then they just have to go with the flow sometimes. And we're not quite as, perfect at it. But a lot of times the anointing will just kick in and do more than we could do in our perfection anyway, our perfect delivery. She's a pastor's wife. She ministers the word with her pastor husband. I forget her name. You know, she didn't come out in a big business suit, but she was a pastor's wife. And she was introduced by, anyway, she's a pastor's wife. I've never seen or heard of her, which I really even like even better. Because I like it when people that are not famous get miracles. And make the word work in their life. You know what I mean? People that, just like us, you know, just like, and because then I say it could happen to me without an Armani. Can you say, man? I mean, a JCPenney guy could get a miracle. And a Walmart gal could get a miracle. And a G&W fashion shop girl could get a miracle. And all the people listening to my tape said, where is that place? Brand names only, I assume. A lot of brand names there, I'll tell you that. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory. She said there was a little place in her breast, size of a marble, hardness. She discounted it, began to grow. Make a long story short, this morning, she said my breast became one solid mass, hard, and then begin to bleed. And she said, I went to God, and I wailed, and I can't do it like her. I won't try. She just acted like a baby screaming out. It's so good to know that when you pour your heart out, now you can't get victory by just questioning. You can't get victory by just crying. But God did say to Hezekiah, I've seen your tears. Listen to this. I've heard your cry. Don't think that when you shed a tear because of a broken heart, that you're not using your faith and God won't listen. Don't try to go beyond your emotions. There's a language of tears. Can you say amen? And as long as faith is blended, God understands broken hearts. He's not asking you to be heartbroken. He's asking you to come to Him for healing of the broken heart. He's not asking you to be fearless in the sense of never having to deal with fear. He's asking you to do what David did in honesty and in his humanity. Can you say, man, what time I'm afraid? I will trust in you. He's asking you to trust him. Can you say, man? We're teaching people if they have fear, there's a problem with their faith. Listen, if I love anyone and I hear that they've been in an accident, fear's going to grip my heart. But you know what I'm going to do when fear grips my heart? I'm not impervious to that. You know what I'm going to do while I'm waiting the outcome? I'm going to go to God. I'm going to cry out to God. I'm going to pray to God. I'm going to look to God. That's how you become fearless. And the fear is lifted when God's peace comes that says, now God is in control. Not just a surgeon. Not just a team down in the emergency room. Not just a great nurse or a great doctor or good medicine. God now has been brought on the scene. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Paul brought a message of hope, and they listened. But they had to become totally devoid of natural hope to get a hold of it. That's why the Bible said in Romans 4:17 that Abraham, against hope, believed in hope. Isn't that incredible? Natural hope was gone. Sarah was barren, could never have children when she was vital. Now she's past the age of childbearing. But his hope was based on what? God's promise to bless the multitudes through his seed. God said, I'll make your seed like the sand of the seashore in number. Thou shalt no more call thyself Abram. Thou shalt call thyself, not after you see a child born, but from this moment that I decreed it, you start calling yourself Abraham. You change your name because I'm changing your destiny. You are no longer Abram. Don't even think of yourself as Abram. Don't introduce yourself as Abram. Introduce yourself as who I decree you're going to become. Because my word is is as sure as you have in it until you see it. So you accept it by faith because God said it. And what do you do to express that? You begin to say what God said. I am Abraham, the father of many. And he said that before he was the father of any. Because he had the hope, the anticipation. God's going to bring that to pass. Against hope, he believed in hope. That means when all natural hope was gone, a supernatural hope kicked in. The supernatural says there's no way in the physical world that this can come to pass. So that's hopelessness. Supernatural hope kicks in and says God's promises are not based on science, logic, reason, rules of nature. He's God Almighty. And he can subdue everything to himself. Isn't that incredible? He can bring water out of a rock. So if you say, I'm in the middle of the desert, no way God can provide for me. Baloney. Baloney. Wouldn't be the first time he brought water out of a rock. Amen? I'm glad he's not limited to reason and logic and circumstance. Isn't that good? She said she squalled, she bawled, she questioned, she cried out. And her son, 19 years old or somewhere along there, heard her and said, Mama, you have preached that God loves us and we can trust God with our life and with everything that touches it, all my life and all your life. And he said, Mama, now it's time for you to put all of that into practice. And she said, I begin to say, because she said, I accepted that. I realized if I'm going to have hope here, I've got to go back to the Word and stand on it. She said, I went back to the Word of God, and I read about mountains being moved. if we doubt not in our heart. And she understood that doubt not in her heart, now she didn't say this, but you can glean this, is not never being afraid, but beginning to line up with the Word of God in spite of your emotions. Can you say amen? She began to stand on the Word. How do you know you're standing on? You don't just talk the problem. You start lining up with what God said in His Word. Faith comes by hearing. And don't just be listening for the preacher to say it. You start saying it. It's amazing that you can hear, your spirit can hear what you speak. You can build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. It's powerful. You let the Holy Ghost begin to move in you as you pray. You can't pray in despair. You can't pray in discouragement. When He takes over, He prays in perfect faith. He doesn't doubt God. He knows God. He's part and parcel of God. Hallelujah. He's the third person of the Godhead. Hallelujah. Praying in the Holy Ghost is not just staying discouraged and praying in tongues. It's letting the Holy Spirit begin to move through you and convince you, hallelujah, in your heart of hearts, that God is God and the Word is true. Hello? Discouraged people praying in tongues is not going to build you up. That discouragement has to be dealt with. The greatest thing for discouragement is what? What's the great antidote? Hope. Can't stay discouraged if you know good is coming. No matter how deep you are, if you can see somebody said, I saw the light at the end of the tunnel, and I ran toward it, and it was a freight train. There are people that can't see the good. Amen. Everything's always bad. There have been people so deep in a hole, you can give them 14 most positive scriptures and 13 of the most powerful testimonies, but they say, I'm in the hole. They're not. I'm in my hole, and I'm so deep in this hole, nobody is going to get me out. It's because down they've slipped so low. Amen. But this is what the Word does. The Word begins to quicken your spirit. The Word of God can find you in your hole. Your emotions can keep telling you, there's no need telling me that. I am too deep. Amen. But God says there's nobody too deep that I can't reach. Can you say, man, there's nothing too mighty that I can't overcome? Hallelujah. Abraham, against hope, believed in hope because he had a word from the Lord. So he said, I don't know how God's going to do it. I don't know when it's going to happen, but I know it's coming. And in fact, by the time it came, Sarah was more doubting than Abraham. Abraham had a wavering and thought, I need to bring in a concubine and make it happen. Found out that was not. You don't have to do that. God is God. He doesn't have to have conditions right. You don't have to help Him out. Please don't try to help God out with your miracle. Can you say, man, don't try to help Him. Don't try to help Him. You just complicate things for yourself and possibly for Him, because He's not going to do it till He get all the glory. And sometimes He don't move till all hope in the natural is gone anyway. So feeling hopeless doesn't mean that you're without hope. It just means against hope, you believe in hope. Hallelujah. When it looks like there is no way, how many know there's a God who makes a way where there seemeth to be no way? Can't find that in Scripture. That is not a passage of Scripture. But that is a biblical truth gleaned from the Word about God. Hallelujah. It sounds like it ought to be a Scripture, don't it? Well, it's not. Just thought I'd tell you, it's not. You can look it up in your Strong's. It's just not there. Somebody asked me one time, and I couldn't find it, so that's why I'm telling you. Hallelujah. Cleanliness is next to godliness. Not in the book. Anyway, moving right along. Only thing wash your sins away is the blood of Jesus, darling. Hallelujah. But it can, and it does. She began to line up with the Word of God. She began to pray, seek the Lord. And as she began to line up with the Word of God, she said, things began to change. And the first change was she became hopeful. She could actually believe that God would work for her. And that's against natural hope. See, supernatural hope that's a product of the Spirit that the Word of God has been seeded into. That hope, I want you to know all the fruit of the Spirit is as the Word of God, which is seeded into your spirit, begins to mature and bring forth. That's where the peace and the joy and the goodness and the kindness and the long-suffering, that's where that comes from. It's all supernatural. Can you say amen? Because if it's natural, it's no good. It can break down under pressure and will break down under pressure. You can be good until somebody ticks you off. You can be kind until somebody rubs you the wrong way in the natural. Don't ever say, I'm going to bear the fruit of the Spirit. Good luck. You're going to strain yourself for nothing. Can you say amen? And all of that fruit comes forth as a natural process of receiving the seed. Isn't that incredible? Not just sitting in the church listening to somebody read a book, but receiving it. Let it dwell in you richly. Can you say amen? And things begin to change inside. She starts lining up with the Word of God and reading, if you say to the mountain, be thou removed, and doubt not in your heart, you'll have what you saith. She started talking to the mountain instead of talking to God about the mountain. Believing that God was listening to her. And that God had promised deliverance to her. And she got up one morning. This is her testimony. And her breast was normal. And the bleeding was gone. And she felt for something. And there's nothing there. So she claimed, and is preaching on television now, a miracle. Deliverance from God. Amen? Isn't that incredible? It's crucial that she didn't lose hope. And give up. Even when it looked hopeless. That's why the scriptures were written aforetime for our learning, that through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, we might have hope. Paul's hopefulness got him an audience that wouldn't listen to him until he said, I have believed God. We're going to make it. And they listened to him. Amen. And they were saved. They were saved. From the storm, from the result of the storm. So we live in a world full of fear and pressure. It can press you beyond measure that you might not learn to trust in yourself, but to trust in God who raises the dead. That means natural hope gives way to supernatural hope, and supernatural hope kicks in the face of circumstances that seem impossible. So God is building hope through His Word. I am more hopeful now than I have ever been in all of the faith teaching that I've ever given in my life, because I know a God that you can pour your heart out to and still get a miracle from. I know a God you can admit your fears to, but make a decision. But, Lord, it's because I'm so afraid that I'm not going to forsake you. It's because I'm so fearful that I'm going to run to you. It's because that I do not trust that man can deliver me that I'm going to be exclusively trusting in you. Because my natural hope is gone. But my supernatural hope is beginning to kick in. Because of what you told me in your word. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? That's why we go to some funerals. Where there's such hope. I mean, when Grandma, as we close this morning, when Grandma, she's got a new name, so I can't even remember her old one now. No. One with a pit bull. She used to have to get him under control to let me come in. Grandma Forsythe. Sister Forsythe's mama. Grandma Johnson. And Grandma Johnson, when she was dying, I mean, when she was getting ready to go, you know, we call it dying. God calls it going to sleep. When she's getting ready to go to sleep and wake up in heaven, everything left this earth. Her hope just got centered in heaven. There wasn't nothing. There was no fear. There was no dread. She just said, yes, Brother Venable, yes. One day Jesus is going to come by the foot of my bed, and He's going to take me by the hand. He's going to say, it's time to go home. That's how she looked at dying. That's how she looked at Jesus coming, taking her by the hand, and said, let's go home. Hallelujah. She said, you know, the body has failed, and I can't do anything anymore, and I don't feel good. I'm going to lay here on my back. I'm ready to go. We used to sing it, I'm packed up, getting ready to go, I'm packed up. Then you talk about dying, some, whoa, wait a minute, whoa. Everybody wanted to unpack. Can you say amen? We packed up and getting ready to go until it's time to go. Can you say amen? I mean, little Johnny hears a message on heaven. Sunday school teacher teaches it, I mean, right down the line. Then she asks for a hand and says, all right, well, how many want to go to heaven? You know, she's told him, when you die, you can go to heaven if you trust Christ and what heaven's all about. And how many want to go to heaven? And 29 little kids raise their hand except Johnny. Johnny won't raise it. He's sitting there and he's holding his hands down. She said, Johnny, don't you want to go to heaven? He said, yeah, but I thought you were getting loaded up right now. Adults put it differently. Everybody wants to go to heaven. Nobody wants to die. Can you say amen? But listen, Paul looked death in the eye and said, death, where's your sting? Grave, where's your victory? Death has been swallowed up in victory. Therefore, because Jesus conquered death for every one of you, my beloved brethren, be you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That means that your hope goes beyond this life. Your hope goes beyond this world. Hallelujah. So you don't have to be shaken by what's shaking everybody else to their foundations. And that sets you apart and makes you outstanding. You stand out in a world of pressure and fear. Hallelujah. Hope is a powerful thing. And it is the reason people will ask of you concerning the faith, when they see the hope that's in you, then be ready. You said this thing is going to be so visible and vital through your life that people will ask of you, the people you've been trying to witness to, he said it's going to change. People are going to come to you when you least expect it. So be instant in out. Be ready at the drop of the hat, so to speak, to give an answer to all men for the what? The reason of what? The hope that is in you. You have to live your life in hope. Against hope, believe in hope. Never, never, never give up on God. Why? Because he that shall come, that's to develop hope, will come. And he will not tarry. In his timing, in his wisdom, he will come. He'll come and deliver. He'll come and save. He'll come and set free. He'll part the Red Sea when all hope of being saved any other way is gone and not before. They would have overtaken them, but night fell. Night fell just before they were overtaken by Pharaoh's army. And they spent a night looking in the distance of that dark night at the glow of the mightiest standing army on planet Earth at that time, pursuing them, blaming them for the death of their firstborn. Can you say, man? They wanted to slaughter them like animals, men, women, and children. And they sat through a dark night waiting for daylight. And they were up against the Red Sea. And it didn't happen. Boom, boom, boom. They had to wait through a dark night. Honey, the time when hope is most vital is when you are wading through that dark night. And God has not spoken. And there's no pillar of fire. God has not moved. Can you say amen? That is a dark, dismal, hopeless, sinking feeling night. And no wonder by morning the people's nerves, they knew it's sun up, they're coming. And we have nowhere to turn and nowhere to go. And we have no weapons of war. We are waiting to be slaughtered. So at morning, they begin to scream and cry and howl. And don't tell them they needed to hear so-and-so's tape. They did, however, need to hold their peace long enough for God to show them that he was the God that always comes through if you'll just wait on him and look to him. Tell the people to hold their peace just for a little while. Just stop it. Long enough for me to give you hope. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Just arrest your emotions long enough for me to get that hope in your heart. And once he began to give orders to Moses and they saw Moses acting, they knew something's going to happen here. Moses is not just standing around wringing his hands anymore. He's got a plan. There he goes, walking up in the forefront. He's got that stick in his hand again. Can you say amen? He's walking stridently. He's not walking tentatively. He doesn't look concerned now. God is talking to Moses. What do you have in your hand? A rod. Stretch it out. Do you believe it's in your capacity? Do you think it took a great man to do those things if he heard God clearly tell him to? Do you think if God gave you that rod and told you to stretch it out and you heard the voice of God, you think you could stretch it out? Not a big deal, is it? We try to make faith some big deal far beyond our capability. Listen, if that's faith, I can handle it. If I can hear the word and just do what he says, nothing supernatural about what I'm doing. But there's something supernatural about what He's going to do as a result of that little seemingly insignificant thing that I'm doing according to His Word. I mean, how do you get water turned by wine? By faith, bringing plain old water. Can you say, man? Hey, Bubba, you think you could bring some water down here? We could see a miracle if we get old Bubba to bring some water. Listen, even old Bubba could bring him a can of fresh water. Can you say, man? Because old Bubba wouldn't stop to say, what does he want it for? But other people say, well, what does he want with that? And his mother said, listen, you're trying to complicate this thing. Amen. You're trying to complicate faith with your reasoning, your intellect, your logic. Why don't you quit all that stuff? Whatever he says to you. Come on, Nike should be paying paying Mary, amen, some money, amen, because she coined that phrase, just do it. Can you say, man? And there's nothing wrong with that phrase. It's bad minds. It puts something wrong. It's talking about exercise and athletics. Don't just say you're going to do it. Just get out there and do it. Can you say amen? And it made Nike a lot of money. Well, we are not talking about making a lot of money. We're talking about the miracle power of God kicking in. Amen. Whatever he says. Don't ask how you feel. Don't ask what your senses are saying. Just do it, can you say it? If he said, praise me, don't wait for a feeling. Just do it. He inhabits the praises of his people. He deserves praise not based on your feelings, but based on his glory and his majesty, his love and his grace and his mercy. Can you say it? Just do it. So they did it. He turned water to wine. Believing. Don't complicate it. Did not I say unto you at the tomb of Lazarus, if you would believe, you'd see the glory of God? What was believing? He said, roll the stone away. They said, he stinketh. He said to do it, so? He said to do it, so? Oh, of course he stinketh. He's a dead man. He hasn't been involved. He's been in that hot old cave where it's sealed up for 3 days. Oh, yeah, he probably does stink. Listen, let God take care of the stink. Just, it stinks when we gossip. We don't have a problem with that. We just, it stinks when we walk in unbelief. But we don't let that stop us. We just, why don't we quit worrying about the stinking stuff and just begin to do what God said? Hallelujah. Amen. He said, you'll see the glory of God if you just do what the Word told you to do. I'm not asking you to do the supernatural. I'm asking you to do a natural thing in obedience to my Word that will allow me to do the supernatural. And so they just did it. They just did it. They said, come on, boys, let's roll this thing away. Can you say amen? And they rolled it away. And expecting something out of the crypt keeper to come out of there. They saw a man that was alive and not stinking. The only thing that said anything about death was grave clothes. And Jesus said, loose him and let him go. He ain't dead no more. Hallelujah. But they had to believe that something good was going to come out of that cave. Because they did an act of faith in the certain hope. So my plant manager is one of the multitudes of people around this world that has a sense within. This world is headed down a road to destruction. It's a dangerous, unpredictable, fragile, uncertain future. And men's hearts are being prepared for the message of hope. Because all hope of being saved is being wore down. They won't admit it because they're too proud. But deep inside, when Walter Cronkite, before it got as bad as it is, when he retired from CBS television, he said there were nights when the news was so bad, I would have rather been a song and dance man. In other words, I'd have rather been trying to bring some laughter somewhere than to be a broadcaster, because it began to wear on him. Amen. Men's hearts failing them for fear and looking at the things coming upon the earth. To counteract that, Jesus says, when you see the same things, lift up your head. Your redemption is drawing nigh. This I say prophetically to you this morning. The message of the second and soon coming of Jesus is going to come back in vogue wherever the Spirit of God can move. The message of becoming rooted in this earth, feeling more at home in this earth, and envying those and the stuff they have on this earth is not the message of hope for the people in the end. Can you say amen? We have it. We have it. In fact, I feel like traveling light, laying aside every weight and sin. Now, some things are not sin, but they are in the way. And Christians don't want to just push the limits of the envelope. We want to say, is there any encumbrance to me? Even though it's not called sin, if it's in my way, I want it out of the way. Are you listening to me? Are you hearing me? God didn't just deal with the sins that keep us from running this race with perseverance and enthusiasm. He dealt with the weights. Last thing a runner wants is to be weighed down with things he doesn't need. So he starts peeling off things. Your priorities begin to change. Your values begin to change. Can you say, man? And listen, I value peace more than automobiles. Can you imagine that? The greatest automobile in the world without peace in your heart, you're not going to enjoy it. I value the joy of the Lord better than the greatest mansion that I could ever possibly live in. There's nothing made out of stone. Nothing made out of gold or silver that can take the place, amen, of what I have in my heart this morning. Amen? So I won't compromise what keeps this in my heart for anyone or anything. The things I once counted gain, that's why Paul lived in hope. I count them as but dung that I might win Christ. Three Hebrew children said, our God is able to deliver us. That's where most of our faith stops. Their faith continued because they had such hope. But if he doesn't, we won't bow to your idol. Come on. If he doesn't, we will not be shaken. Long after this world, we'll live in that world and glorify him. Hallelujah. We won't trade that world for the immediate. Moses, when he became of years, refused. Will you stand for this? Refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He was a legal heir to the richest, most prosperous and powerful nation on planet Earth at that time. Hello? He could have walked back into Egypt, identified himself, and become an immediate heir. And he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Because in hope, he looked past this world and said, they'll live in pleasure for a while, but there's a judgment coming. There's a recompense of reward. And when that day comes, I'd rather be a shepherd and be God's shepherd out here than to be a rich king and stand that judgment and be separated from God. That's when the values are not shaped by the culture. That's when the values are shaped by the kingdom. And you know what God wants to do in his church? Give her back kingdom values. So the kingdom is first, not just to get stuff. The kingdom is first to get spiritually corrected, spiritually focused, spiritually lined up with eternal values. Wonderful thing about the kingdom being first is the stuff don't matter that much anymore. So getting the kingdom first is not so you can get stuff. Getting the kingdom first so you don't even think about stuff anymore. After all these things, the Gentiles seek. They spend their energy on it. He said, I don't want you to even think about it. Take you no thought for your life. So forget the 18-step plan to getting rich. Because that's you taking thought. You're spending hours. Take you what? No thought for your life. What you shall eat, whether you drink or be clothed. But seek first the kingdom of God. And all these things will be added according to what God decides is appropriate for you. God wants you to be a servant. The Bible said, servants, obey your masters. And do it from the heart. Everybody's not going to be the CEO. And it's okay. If you collect money from people, going down the highway and sit in that booth. Nobody's probably going to have you on television. I'm sorry. They probably won't. They'll say, oh, this lady takes money down there for people going their way. Most people won't even say thank you. They'll throw their money at you and get impatient with you and try you and test you. That's okay. That's where God wants you right now. It's okay. Because you're going to heaven. Your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Would you bow your heads this morning? If you're not cautious, you'll get under the same spirit this world is under. A dissatisfaction with what you have. You'll lose appreciation for your name being written in heaven. You'll be looking for something else to give you spiritual enthusiasm. Even if there is some wonderful experience in the Lord to stimulate you, if you don't get back your appreciation for just being one of His children this morning, you have missed the mark with whatever other choice blessing He can give you. The greatest joy and the greater joy of all is the joy of sins forgiven and knowing that you're going to escape the wrath to come. And if you lose that, you are unconvincing to the world about you. Because you're as irritated as they are, as agitated as they are, as depressing. You become easily discouraged and therefore you discourage others. And whatever you say about God from that point is moot to them. Not mute, moot. It's a moot issue. It means nothing. Because there's no reason to ask of you, where did you get that awesome spirit of hopefulness? No matter what we hear or see or read or experience, where is that fountain flowing from? I am in desperate need of what you possess. Then you can witness. Then they will ask. My witnessing is not imposed. The defenses go up the moment they find out you're a Christian, especially when they find out you're a preacher. They expect you to jump on them. My witness takes place when they start asking. Hallelujah. Because the defenses are down. The door is wide open to share Christ and the hope of the gospel. And they ask, and they ask, and they ask, and they ask, and they ask. 6.5 years, and they're still asking. Hallelujah. They're asking. Hallelujah. And boy, they ask at strange and unusual times and unusual circumstances and unusual places. So I'm ready. I am ready. I am ready. Instant. In season. Out of season. One day I went in. And I didn't realize it, but I was carrying a burden. And that hope wasn't visible. That anticipation. That expectation. I was carrying a burden. And boy, did they notice. Did they pick up on it. I was in the locker room getting dressed. And I guess it just showed in my countenance. And somebody come around the corner, looked me up and down and says, Rev, what's wrong with you? You're not your old positive self. And I thought, I have just looked in a mirror without a mirror. Because somebody is being my mirror. And I thought, you know, you're right. Hey, do you ever look at yourself sometime? I mean, I'll just, you know, you realize people will mirror you. They pick up on this stuff. It's quiet in here this morning. Amen. If we walk out here melancholy and you live in that, forget your witness. You ain't gonna win nobody. You ain't got nothing they need. It's only when you have something different that they're gonna talk to you. And I thought, he's right. I stood at my locker and I prayed and I repented. And I said, Lord, I said, you're right. I said, you're right. I should be trusting God right now. He said, oh, I didn't mean. He was apologetic for, you know, anything. Because he's not a Christian. But he was expecting me to be different, no matter what the circumstances. I have a God. I have a God. Having a God is supposed to make a difference than people who don't have a God. Because people who do have a God have a hope. Can you say, man, that goes beyond this world and taps into the supernatural? So I prayed. I said, Lord, I prayed David's prayer. So, why art thou just wiser than me? Why are you so pressed down and melancholy and depressed? Oh, well, the flesh is going to give you about 10,000 reasons. Well, dear Lord, I got a phone call, don't you know? Nobody loves me no more. My best friend let me down. They talked about me at work. They told all lies on me down at the job. Why, that church down there said that I left with a bad spirit. I'm telling you, you don't know. My children don't love me. They don't appreciate me. They don't care if I live or die. You don't know what I've been through. The flesh can